serve a risen King. A child told us a few moments ago that he died, but 3 days later he rose again. We don't serve a person who is considered good who's laying in a grave right now. Don't serve a statue that can't speak back, can't feel or experience what we are feeling and experiencing. We serve a risen King, a King of Kings, the scripture says. It means that any king we see here, any Lord we see here, he's the King and the Lord over that King, over that Lord. So because of that, because of his victory, we have victory. So today we stand here as victors. And although we do that in the midst of our tears, disappointments, setbacks, sorrows, we do it because we know that victory truly is ours. I'd like to thank the praise team for that reminder through song. I want to thank the band as well, all the musicians, for allowing the Lord to move through you and use you. I'm grateful to be here today and just want to spend a few moments in the Word of God. It's been some time, and I just want to celebrate his goodness this afternoon. So if you'll turn with me to the Gospel according to Luke chapter 2. Gospel according to Luke chapter 2, verse 49. I'd like to thank your dear pastor for allowing me to come and spend some time with his parishioners. I don't know why they're playing musical chairs. They make everybody look just look goofy. Didn't they just look goofy just now? He's gone. Let's go. I don't know. Gospel according to Luke chapter 2, verse 49. Scripture records there, it says, "And he said to them, how is it that you sought me? Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" I'm going to read it from the New Living Translation, if you will. "But why did you need to search?" he asked. "Didn't you know that I must be in my Father's house?" Today, I just want to speak with you under the title, "Let Him Know." Let Him Know. We're praying, Father in heaven, thank you for your mercy and for your love. We ask, dear Lord, that in this moment, that we'll continue to experience your goodness, dear Lord. We've done it through the thanksgiving of giving, dear Lord, and returning unto you, which is yours, that you've given us and entrusted us with. We've done it, dear Lord, through the expression of stars, dear Lord, your little children. And dear God, we've done it through song and we've done it through prayer. And now, dear Lord, we're seeking that you would speak to us, dear Lord, through your word. That we may leave here, dear Lord, today, having a great understanding and appreciation of what you have for us to do. So now, dear God, I ask you to shut down every distraction that the devil has organized for this day. Dear Lord, I'm asking that you'll bind him both hand and foot and move him and do that thing, dear Lord, that you have designed for this holy Sabbath day. Preach, oh Lord, preach. In Jesus' name we ask, dear Lord, that you will just cover me, move me, and allow me, dear Lord, to just watch you work. Let us know, dear Lord, what you have for us to know. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Gospel according to Luke, I love how Luke just really captures the perspective of a Gentile. His account is interesting because he's not one of the 12. So every time I get a chance to read the book of Luke, I'm intrigued of his approach and his perspective. And looking at this in Luke chapter 2, he starts there in verse 41. The Bible says that Jesus' family, y'all leaving, just go and go. Just go and go. Just right there. I was at the peak of that. Y'all heard Luke chapter 2. You read this and then boom, we got to go. We all leaving right now. Taking the guitar. He's slick. He let them go first. I'm talking. I'm looking this way. He slip out the back door. All right. Bye, Kev. Kev ain't going to run. Kev, whatever. I'm from Miami. I'm just going to walk it out. The Bible's interesting. So It says there that in Luke chapter 2, verse 41, it says that Jesus' parents would customarily, yearly, they would go down to the Passover feast. Now, recognizing that these are feasts that symbolize just in the Jewish culture, the children of Israel, what God had done for them, they had to journey down to Jerusalem and they would celebrate these high times of God's deliverance in times past. And so this Passover feast was awesome because what it did was it spoke to what happened in Egypt and there with the Passover lamb and how Pharaoh and all of the Egyptians who did not believe, who were not under the banner of that blood, their firstborn was slain that night, and the command came out to let my people go. Very interesting. Pen of Inspiration says, I love how they put it. It says that the children of Israel left Egypt a free nation. Isn't that something? You walk out of your captivity, but you're there in that place where they don't like you. You're there in that place where they're trying to keep you in bondage. You're there where they're redistricting, but you're a free people. And the Bible says as they left that night, a free people, they were left with that understanding that they had to teach their children what God did for them. So every single year following that time period, they were supposed to go back to Jerusalem, no matter where they were living, and they were supposed to celebrate God's goodness. What was interesting is as they went down this particular time, the Bible says Jesus was about 12 years old. It says he was 12 years of age. And it's beautiful because at 12 years old, he is now considered in the culture to have now entered into manhood. And he can start taking on those responsibilities of manhood. And so as he goes down to Jerusalem with his parents for this particular Passover, he stops off and he's there in the temple. And what's interesting is they journeyed in a caravan of people. So they're coming from Galilee. Understand, if you will, just for a moment, some of you were raised, you're in the country. Some of you are in the country right now. And so, you know, country living is a little different from city living. You know, city living is a little different. You know, you speak differently if you're in the city. You speak differently if you're from the country. You know, so you slow it down a little bit. You know, we ain't got to rush right now. You know, we're going to do this till the sun go down. You know, we're just going to take our time, you know. But city life, you know, you guys keep it on moving. We got to move, got to go, got to go, got to go, got to go. And so now they're in Jerusalem. So now they're coming in, but you still bring your culture with you. And so they bring their culture, their customs with them, but they're all serving the same God. And as they come in, they're there and they've come in with friends and family and everyone's coming down from Nazareth, a little ghetto over there in Galilee. And they make their way over. As they make their way over, they're in the temple that Herod has built them. And so they're there and they see all the lush landscape and they see the high, you know, doctors of the law, and they're walking around, their long robes are swaying, and they're reciting all these prayers, and they sound like they're so smart and so dignified. And so they're walking through. It's an intimidation tactic, you know, to keep people kind of at bay and make them think they're closer to God than the other people are. That's why they set up this whole thing where I think they did it for me because I'm short. But most times, you know, in church, they kind of elevate the top, you know, in the rostrum, so you kind of high and look down when you speak to people, you know, kind of make that idea that you're above, you know, that's the idea. I'm up here, but I still don't look like I'm, you know. Right. And so they would do that. And the Bible says Jesus is there with his parents. And what's interesting is while he is there, it says a celebration is over. But see, the problem is they kept looking at the past of what God did for them and stopped focusing on what God is doing for them. Thank you, Carlene. It's good you said that, because they were going to miss all of it. There's something about the goodness that God has done for you, but it will only get you so far. You have to start experiencing what God is doing for you and what he's going to do for you. That's walking prospectively into your blessing. You recognize God is going to do something because he's done something. You don't get it. Because he's done something, because I'm here, the fact that I've come this far, that old song, remember that old song? Ah, Lord, I know what, he ain't brought me this far. Well, to leave me, there you go, the rest of it, that's the rest of it. I did the other part, he did the rest of it. Lord, I know the Lord ain't brought me this far to leave me. It's a beautiful thing when your blessings get you to where you are and you recognize they're going to propel you to where you need to be. I believe, I don't know for sure, I wasn't there, I'll find out about the second, third, maybe week or month of heaven. I'm going to make some rounds. I just got to take my, you know, I got to pace myself because there's going to be a lot of worship going on. But I need to talk to David about something because I need to find out when he was in the valley. I just want to know what he was saying. You had to amp. You got to hype yourself up. You know, he told Goliath, "I'm gonna take your head. He goes down. He doesn't have a. He don't have nothing on him. You ever go somewhere and somebody do something? Oh, you must think. Yep. You never had that moment. Look at you. Sherman should have said, "Yes, I've done that once or twice in my time." You know, that's about it. But David goes down into the valley with a slingshot and a little purse, man purse, with some rocks in it, right? And he goes down there and he tells Goliath, "I'm going to take your head." How are you going to do it, David? He saw the weapon of choice. He just didn't have it yet. Some of us, I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what your experience may be, but there are times where there's a job, you just don't have it yet. It's yours. You're going to get it to achieve God's mighty work in your life. You just don't have it yet. But you see it and you're going to get it. David said, "I'm going to take your head off." So I believe as David was speaking to Goliath, I believe there was a part of that moment where he was in that valley and speaking to himself. "He that dwelt in the secret place of the Most High must abide in the shadow of the Almighty." I don't know what he was saying. "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Destroy the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? With the wicked of me, my enemies come upon me." I don't know. But something of what God has done and what I know he's going to do. "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continue." I don't know what he said to himself, but whatever it was enough to get himself hyped up enough to sling that thing, get that thing, chop that thing, hold that thing, and get that thing. You know what I'm saying? Right? We have to be able to do that. We have to be able to use what God has done to get us to get what God is going to give us. Children of Israel, though, they were so focused. They were so focused on what God had done. They were telling stories of old, but not stories of present. They kept talking about their father's experience and Abraham and Moses and the children of Israel. They never talked about their experience. Wouldn't it have been glorious for Joseph to come down into Jerusalem and say, "God, he sent his messenger, the angel came and told me this child has been sent for a mighty," instead of kind of walking on the outskirts of the church? Talk about what God is doing right now. Because somebody right now needs to hear a word right now about what's going on right now in 2026. Suppose what happened in 1840 with your grand, great, 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 grand. Because right now we need a move. With the stuff that's going on, we need a move. Bible says that they came down and they were celebrating Passover. Because they had gotten so stuck in the tradition of Passover, they just wanted to keep celebrating Passover. And they missed the part that Passover was pointing to, Christ coming and dying. Isn't that something? That in 21 years, they were actually going to have this whole thing fulfilled. But they were so caught up on doing this, they were fine doing it for the rest of their lives. Just coming down once a year. Bible says that while they're there and they're having the lamb and the lamb has been brought forth, no spot, no blemish, has been picked out, almost like your goat for Christmas. No Jamaicans here. And this lamb has been selected. Pen of inspiration says Jesus, 12 years of age, spots it. Anyone a sniper? You don't know who's here. You don't know. Maybe you don't know, right? Anyone ever? No. You need a spotter. You got me? Someone laid up on a rifle. But you need a spotter. Because a spotter's going to get you. Okay, 40 degrees. I'm not. Just so I don't get it all, you know, just so no one comes out asking questions after service. Jesus is there and he recognizes something's taking place and he spots it. Watch this. This is powerful. As he spots it, he realizes the lamb is just a type. But it represents him. Can you imagine, I won't come down yet, 12 years of age and seeing your mission play out and watching these men who are dressed up for this high day in the temple, and they're cutting the throat there, they're draining the blood, and you're watching the blood pour, knowing that's you. So in that moment, at 12 years of age, the preteen, he goes, and the Bible, literally, he's there with all of the doctors of the law, all the religious leaders, and he's sitting down, and they're using this method to teach, which is very interesting. They now call it the Socratic method, but it was around long before Socrates was around. It's this method of learning through the art of asking questions. So I ask you questions, but the truth is I'm asking those questions to provoke thought. And in that thought-provoking exchange, you're learning through that. Isn't that powerful? So the Bible says Jesus is there, and while there, he's asking these questions, and he's answering, and he's having this discourse, and the religious leaders are so full of themselves and so full of pride, they think, he's learning from us. Well, look at this. I'm getting that boy smarter. You ever have that moment you think you're getting someone smarter from the conversation you're having with them? And not realizing they're playing you till after you realize, where's my wallet? I don't even know. He was so humble and so smooth at 12. He was able to engage with this high level of all of the teaching, all the reading, all the learning. And he was able to do it based upon his relationship with God and through the power of the Holy Spirit, not relying on divinity, but using his relationship with God as a human to receive what God had for him. This is how powerful this is. Okay. My son said to me, he said, that little image up there, that's AI. And I said, well, you only got four fingers. So I'm looking at it, and I'm like, well, how do you know the finger ain't caught up behind you? Oh, no, look behind you. Look at that one. That's clearer. Four fingers. AI. And it reminds me of the fact that no matter how much intelligence, it's all artificial. But what God has put into man, that's the authentic AI. That's AI. Get it? Authentic intelligence. Yeah. 12 years old, blowing their minds. He does this day after day. Now, in there, there's a time where he has gone in some deep reflection because he recognizes what he sees and he understands his mission. It's very, very powerful how God has downloaded now into his son the mission of his life and what he has to do. So while he's there having this conversation, the conversation is not for him to get an understanding. He's trying to give them an understanding and hopefully gain some cooperation at Jerusalem from these religious leaders. Isn't that powerful? His parents have left. They've left. They're on their way. They're on their little caravan. Everyone's gathered together. You ever go on a road trip with other people? Would you do it again? Don't raise your hand, right? So you're on a road trip, all these other people. And what they said is they had the donkeys and camels and such. And those are individuals, the older men and the women, they would ride for the most part. And the men and the young men, they were the ones they were supposed to walk alongside. So it's a slow-moving a group of individuals. And so at nighttime now, they thought Jesus was with other people, you know, families and other friends that were there. They thought he was there. And so they did not, the Bible literally says they did not miss him until the evening. Now, some commentators say they didn't miss him until the evening because it was time to do some work. To try, you know, set up the camp, you know, the place to sleep, you know, a little pathfinder work, you know. And so they didn't miss him until then. Isn't that interesting? You know, sometimes we don't miss Jesus until we need some work. Is it just, what? It wasn't just Joseph and Mary. You know, sometimes we don't call Jesus until we miss, right? Sometimes it's just, you know, when we miss something. Jesus! Oh, Lord, I need. But when you're eating that waffle, was it cinnamon? They look all around. They thought he was with the group of people. They look all around. They cannot find him. Have you seen Jesus? No. Have you seen Jesus? No. You imagine if someone comes to church and says, have you seen Jesus? And the answer is just no, 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 no. I saw Jesus. I saw him. I saw Jesus. Just so you all get that. Here in the building. They head back to Jerusalem. They've already been gone a day. They head back to Jerusalem. They head back to Jerusalem. They're running around looking for their son. They have lost their son. Has anyone lost their child before? Don't raise your hand. They lost their son. The Bible says this. 3 days. 3 days gone. They make their way back. When they make their way back, they get in and they hear this voice. He's sitting down again, having this conversation. He's talking. He's exchanging ideas. And he's unlocking prophecies that they did not know. These religious leaders did not understand the fullness of the prophecies that they were sitting there teaching other people about what God had done. And he's unlocking the secrets. He's doing it very delicately, very smooth. He's doing it through by way of just asking questions. Okay, but what about this? I mean, because Daniel did say that one. And then remember when Amos made that comment about can two walk together? I mean, you know, and he's doing this thing. And they're like, oh. And literally, the servant of the Lord says that they wanted to take him and make him one of their students. You ever have a student that you want to make anyone in education? You wish that person could be your student? They literally wanted him to be their student so they could take pride and say that they're the reason why. His parents see him. They run over. All we have so far is a quote from his mother, not his father. Watch this now. Joseph does not say a thing. I shouldn't have said that. But all we have so far, I'm saying it again, is a quote from his mother, not Joseph. I was going to do something just now, but I'm not going to do it. I'm just going to keep going. Chiron said do it. Okay, he said do it. I'm not going to do it. I'm going to keep going. I'm probably going to do it. Watch this. So he does not hear anything from Joseph. He only hears from mother. Only mother speaks to him. This is Jesus, who is also known as Michael, but not from Joseph. Joseph doesn't say a word. Mother comes over and she says, didn't you know? Like, what are you doing? We've been very sick about you. Like, we've been seeking you. We've been searching for you. We've been crying like crazy. What's going on? And he turns and says, why? Why would you do that? Watch this closely. Joseph is there. He turns to them both and says, why would you do that? Didn't you know that I had to be about my father's business? New Living Translation says, didn't you know I was going to be in my father's house? Boom. You know what he just did? I'm not making this up. Commentators have said this. He literally took what his mother said and he rearranged it for her, so for her to understand that, you know, Joseph's been a good man. He's a good husband. He's been taking care of you. All them other children. But my father, they done told you, Mary, when they first met you in Nazareth, when Gabriel came down, that he would be son of the Most High, right? They already told you, Mary, when you came down, that you'll be overshadowed with the power of the Almighty and that the Holy Spirit is going to stir that thing. Now, you already know. Mary? Mother? Joseph is a good man. He's just not my father. And I am in my father's house. It's almost as though, it would almost feel like he just got a fax from his son saying, you're fired. Yeah? All right, so I'm done. I don't have to do no more. When he says this to his parents, I don't know the shock waves that hit them. Because they had gotten specific instruction before he was even born, who he was and what he was to do. After he was born and Herod was slaying all the infants, they got specific instruction about where to go and keep him safe. After those years had expired, they got specific instruction again from God that you could bring him back now to the because Herod is no longer going to be seeking his life, and that one's passed on. They said they're still scared. They end up going into Galilee, into Nazareth, and so they gotten all that instruction, but they missed the understanding that his purpose and his design was not for them to have a beautiful boy who knew so much, but he was the Son of God, designed to be the Lamb of God and designed to take away the sins of this world. His name alone was given to them. His name, they said, call him Jesus. Why? He will save his people from their sin. And even with having all of that, they were still, can I say it? I didn't write it. I'm just going to repeat what I read. Negligent in how they actually handled the Son of God. Isn't that heavy? You know, he had to literally let them know in front of people why he was there. It was no mistake that he was able to say this with the religious leaders present. You catch that? They asked him a question. Those doctors of the law and all those people who were there were present. He was able to say in their presence, I'm in my Father's business. I'm about my Father's business. And so as they're there, they're hearing this. Everyone has heard it. And no one really puts two and two together to realize, wait a second, is he saying that he was here intentionally? I thought he just got left behind. He's over here asking us some questions. Wait a second. And so now everyone hasn't put that all together. And his parents who get it, they should have gotten it. Joseph doesn't say a mumbling word. Mary's just kind of like, and I just want to read because it's important for us just to hear it. It says in verse 50, first, let me just read what she said here. Verse 48 is when she said that stuff that prompted Jesus' response. His parents didn't know what to think. Son, his mother said to him, why have you done this to us? Your father and I have been frantic searching for you everywhere. But why did you need to search? Didn't you know that I must be in my father's house? And the Bible says, and they didn't understand what he meant. Jesus didn't get lost. Jesus didn't even go missing. He was right where they left them. He was in the temple. They left. And they found him where he should have been and perhaps where they should have been as well. I just want to take a moment because, man, this is tough. This is tough. Every single summer, as I've gotten older, I become increasingly concerned about the news reports and how many children are going to go missing or die from drowning. It's just every year is something. And sure enough, man, this summer hit and little boy down south found dead in a swimming pool. Summer just hit. And every summer, that same body of students, they don't start the next school year. Someone's missing. And what's tragic is, if you look at the numbers, every school year, those who start don't finish. And it's happening more and more. And I'm including college, by the way, when I say this. And we know about one most famously that happened most recently, last month in Mississippi. School wraps up, and those who's finished that semester, that year, won't be starting Because nefarious, wicked, evil people want to see to it that you don't keep going where God has laid before you. So I wanted to stop by today because what's interesting is losing a child is devastating. But at least you can find them. But for those whose children are taken from them, never to find them again. And I speak in very, it sounds cryptic, but I'll just share with you an experience so you'll understand where I'm coming from. Last year, I had the opportunity to go to this resort place. And this particular place, it not like the Orlando resorts. The Orlando resorts, you know, everything's kind of open and airy, right? But this particular one, it's covered. It's all just under cover, right? And it is roughly 3.3 million square feet of space, spanning, they have like, you know, atriums and water park, and it's like over 9 acres of that space. And then it's about maybe 2,888, I'm not approximating, guest rooms. And so just this vast space, you know, conventions, all the space. So I'm there with my family. And one night we had gone to this one particular restaurant, still in the same space, and we're in there and we ate and we got done and we walk out. As we walk out, all four of us, because it's four of us in the family, the four of us walk out, and as we walk out, I have one, my oldest, and he saw something on the screen, the television that he had right outside of the restaurant. So he looked up, and he's looking at that, and can we just us for a moment? Can I just talk to us for a moment? So I'm like, hey, he's not paying attention. Let's go around the corner and see what he does when he doesn't see us, right? So we go around the corner and looking, whatever, and nothing's happening. Because he's not paying attention yet. He's still kind of still there watching whatever it was. And anyone here tell jokes, like a little practical joke, like make, you know, little jokes or stuff? Okay, I see one little hand in the back. There you go, right? So I don't like jokes. I ain't got time for that. I don't have time for that. I'm not playing no jokes. I'm not doing that. Don't play with me. I got time for no foolishness, right? I just don't like the foolishness, right? I don't like it. I don't like it. I just thought, yep, don't like it. I'm a serious man. Right? So sometimes you ever just someone to say it's a joke too far? You take it too far, right? And you can't figure out why you're bent up, right? You can't figure, right? And so this particular night, you just go too far, Kev? So I'm like, all right, you know what? He's still not paying. All right, let's go over here. And so we went down a little thing, the walkway, and turn around, and I'm sitting there waiting. I made one strategic mistake, though, Lisa. I went so far up this walkway, and I'm looking back to see him come around the corner, and I forgot about, and I didn't take into account, there's one turn that if he makes that turn, Renee, is over. I'm over there waiting. Three of us are waiting. I got my youngest one all in it. Yeah, let's see. Right? Nothing's happening. I'm like, all right, hey, let's double back. But I don't want to blow my cover. Right? So let's double back, but, you know, keep it kind of low. And so we're kind of keeping it low, looking, waiting, nothing. We make all the way back to where we left him. He's not there. I'm like, all right, Nate, let me go find him. You know what I mean? Let me go find. So I'm looking, like, all right, man. You know, you ever try to do the cool look first? I'm doing a good cool look, you know. So I go back up in the restaurant, you know, but I'm not trying to disturb things. I'm walking by people's tables. Oh, that's good right there. That's good right there, you know. And I'm walking through looking at, you know, looking. I don't see him. Come back out. I'm like, oh, I don't see him. So then Amber and I had this great idea. Let's split up. Got one team. If anything, I'll call you. You call. And so she goes. I know. It's on me. So take my young one with her, and I'm with, you know, and I'm on my own. And I'm walking through this resort, 3.3 million square feet, over 9 acres of open, lush atriums and all the stuff they advertise. And all I'm thinking about, Renee, is 2,888 guest rooms. Somebody done got my son. And I'm about to get real stupid up in this place, right? I'm about to pull a David. You may not know. I'm going to get the, right? So I'm walking through, and all I'm saying to myself is, man, I done lost my firstborn. I'm by myself now, and I can't find him. It's been time. It's just ticking and ticking. I can't find him. And I'm calling Amber. You got no nothing yet. Okay, all right. All right, you circle back over here. I'm going to go back over. And I'm like, well, the water park's closed, so you can't be back. And I'm going through it. And I stop. You know what I did, Nate? I prayed, bro. This is where, remember I talked about it earlier? We don't look for Jesus until something's gone wrong, right? It was something that had gone wrong, right? It had gone dastardly wrong. And I stopped and I prayed to God. I'm like, Lord, please. And I'm begging him for my son. I'm begging him. Because I haven't gone to the front desk yet. Like, you know, all right, let me just say this to you. I don't like attention. Right? I don't like it. I don't want anyone looking and saying, yeah, that's the guy. He lost his son. Where is he? I don't want that. I don't want to be that guy. I don't want for the rest of the trip I'm up there, everyone saying, hey, you found him? Keep an eye. I don't want it. I don't want any of that. I don't want that type of attention. I'm trying to keep it real. I don't want to look like I'm a negligent, careless parent, right? I don't want to, because I have to explain the whole thing. Well, see what happened. We went around the corner. I was looking. I don't want to have to go through any of that. Let me take care of it on my own. That's why I like to take care of my problems on my own. But then I need to invoke Jesus. Man, I'm praying. We go into all the hot spots. There's a little donut spot over here. Let's check that. There's an ice cream spot. Let's go check. And nothing's happening. Going back. You ever just keep looking for something, keep going back and forth through the same spot? And you know full well it can't be there because you've been there 50 times, right? Finally, who found them? So they found them. I'm over here praying, right? I'm like Abraham with tears in my eyes with a knife, right? And they find them. And I get the phone call. Remember I told you I didn't take into account there's a turn? So when you come around the corner, not immediately, but it's a few paces to your left, there's an atrium that is a beautiful garden, like a rainforest. Is it a rainforest? Like some kind of just trees and bushes, and it's nighttime. So it's supposed to be kind of like, I guess, romantic. I'm not cool. I don't like it because something could jump out on me when I'm trying to, you know, talk to my wife. Hey, baby, yes, I'm just sitting there. You know, I don't want that. I don't want that moment. You know what I mean? Listen, turn the lights on. You know what I mean? I want to see your face anyway, right? And so it's dark, and they got a few little spotlights on some trees, but it's dark. It is dark. It's like going through the garden. I guess I haven't been there. I'm assuming, right? Nighttime, dark, right? And so it's misty, like, you know, they're trying to make a little moment, like, right? And I'm like, man, and it's all fake. Remember, it's all enclosed. This is not even real water. It's just misty, right? And so, and it's like a horror movie, like it's like a horror movie, right? Because, you know, we don't go in them places. As I'm walking by, I wouldn't have went in there. I'm not going in there. Right? I'm going to keep going straight. But he went in there. And when he went in there, he made his way up to the second floor you went to? And it was near, there's a little shopping spot up there. They have, you know, the eatery and shops and stuff. And he went up, and that's where you found him, right up in that area. I asked him. And first of all, I came real humble, just so you know. I didn't come up there, where you been? Because I didn't want him knowing what we did. I don't even know if you heard. I think this might be the first time he knew what I did. I don't think he knew the whole story. Like, I think he just thought, oh, we got separated. I left it like that. I, you know, a lot of people could be listening. They don't know. Come knocking on my door. I just want to ask a question, a few questions about the investigation. They said, no, I don't know. Right? We just separated. So I think he's hearing the same first for the first time. But when I came to him, I came real, you know, slow. Just, hey, what happened? Where'd you go? Where were you? I'm trying to understand what took place. Not that I plan to have it happen again, but I just want to get a good understanding. And so I didn't come in like Joseph and them talking about some wish ye not that, you know, I didn't do that. I just, you know, where were you? What happened? And he said, well, I came out and I didn't know where you guys were. So as I was walking out, did you say you saw the back of us at one point? He saw us hit the left. And then all of a sudden he just knew he was left. And so he said, I went in the garden area, and I remembered when we went through here before, and pretty much the boy tracked the steps through this little nasty, little misty, dark place I wouldn't have felt comfortable in, made his way up to a little area where we would go and have lunch times, and he figured if he could get there, he's planning a home base. You understand what I'm saying to you? And so I went to the front desk a couple times. I just didn't say anything to them. I should have done it then. I'm looking around first. You gotta get a feel for, you know, I'm looking for one of us and have a conversation. Hey man, real quick. Let me just, hey, don't say nothing yet on the PA system. Did you see anyone? You know, I kept going there. I didn't see anything. But he said I went back. And my point for that is, and I'm trying to tell you, don't judge me as a parent. You already have. That's fine. You can judge whatever you want. That's fine. But what I'm trying to get at is when you put something in your children, they will use what you give them. They will keep that thing, even though you don't even understand what they have in them, but they'll take that thing and they will use it and it will help save them and save you one day. I guarantee they have put something in Jesus. They kept going year after year. They didn't get it, but he understood greater than they did. And that's why he stayed in the temple. By the time Omega made his way up and was in that spot, he was there because that's where we were. And he just remembers, I don't see you, but I know if I go through the same, I don't know how he did it that night. When I tell you I was shaking inside, I held that boy differently for the rest of the trip. Because I lost my son. As we close, I want us to realize this upcoming school year. Let's not lose any of our children. And it's not in our power, but it's definitely, we have the power of prayer to ask for God's covering that we lose not one. Nolan Wells isn't going back to school this year. Life is over. They were celebrating freedom, and he was there with them. But Malcolm said something else. Martin was real clear, still ain't free. I imagine Jesus there in the temple, looking at them perform the rites of this Passover that was supposed to separate them from sin, even for a moment, and not realizing the Lamb of God was in their presence, and they missed the whole point of true freedom. The Bible says they just finished a celebration. They were celebrating the Passover and missing the Passover lamb. And he was trying to let them know. So I realize is, as we spend time with our children, we have to let them know exactly how much God loves them. I think we spend too much time as parents. I said we. telling our children how much we love them. But we don't teach how much God loves them. And I think if we taught our children how much God loves them, that maybe we see a drop in suicide. Maybe. Because our love is fleeting. Sometimes we act loving, other times it don't show no Christ whatsoever. And I'm not talking about yelling at the children. I'm not talking about, I'm just talking about even just, you know, if you're unfaithful to your wife, you don't really show your love for your children. I'm talking about even if you don't have a relationship with God yourself, but you keep saying you love your children, how do you know love? But if we could teach them how much God loves them, if we could let them know that when they are gone from us, they won't be lost. Because they'll have something in them like a homing device that'll bring them back to God's bleeding side. And children, I'm going to say this, our young people. We have to let the world know that we know who we are. You're a child of God. You are loved. You are highly sought after. And no matter what people say about you or to you or do to you and do behind your back, God has covered everything. And he's got you no matter what. So this afternoon, even though I understand what it looks like to chase after your children and to seek after your children, to pursue after your children, I can imagine as Mary and Joseph were running after and trying to find Jesus, they were probably just running for the checkered flag and running through the red lights, trying to make their way back to Jesus. But the truth of the matter is, he was already covered and kept by God, his Father. And so this afternoon, we're going to have prayer. And we're praying not just for those who are going to school, you know, I forget what I know it's pre-K, but what's the one before pre-K? We'll just say daycare. How about we just do daycare? Daycare through 12. We're going to pray for all those individuals. We're also going to pray for those who are going to college, those who are returning to college, those who are, and I'm not talking about going in a sense where you're getting on a plane and flying away, or you're going into another town or whatever it may be. I'm referring to those individuals who are traveling out of town, but those individuals who are local, those individuals who are just going to be doing, you're doing one class, perhaps you're doing an online course. The idea is, it's just a matter of going and enrolling. You're getting ready to start school again, whether it be this week or the next couple of weeks or next month, whatever it is, we're praying. And we're going to pray for those children. We're praying for those students. We're praying for whoever you are, because we're asking for God's covering, that you will know who you are, and that God will continue to cover you wherever you may be, whether you're walking through some atrium made up forest, rainforest, whether you're on a boat somewhere with some people that just don't like you and you don't even know it yet, whether you're in a car with some people and they're going somewhere you don't necessarily want to go but everyone else is going, whether you're on a train and someone has set up some wickedness ahead on the next stop, whatever it is, we're asking for God's covering. Because the devil is moving at such a rampant rate because he knows his window to get you is shrinking. He wants your life. He wants to snuff it out before you fulfill the purpose that God has for you. So I'm asking the young people, if they'll come, we're going to have prayer for them. And I want to do two appeals. One is for those young people, those who are going to school. If you could join me, and I won't keep you standing for too long. If you have your children, again, kindergarten, daycare, K through 8, 9 through 12, and, you know, college and postgraduate studies, whatever it may be, if you'll come down and just join me, we're going to have prayer. You're going to have a seat in the front if your feet feel a little tight in those shoes. But I'm also asking parents to come. But I don't want the parents to bring the children. I'm asking you to send your children. Trust them to this appeal like you trust them in school. You drop them off at school and leave them. Send them for prayer. And as you send them down for prayer, I'm asking for the parents to then come and just stand behind them like a wall of protection. Because what we're symbolizing is what happens when you send them to school. You stand behind them and you pray for them. You ask for God's blessings on them. I'm not asking for their parents. I'm asking for any parent, any auntie, any play parent, anyone who come in and say, sir, ma'am, miss, whatever it may be. I'm asking for you to stand behind these young people. I needed someone to pray for me that night of my child when I couldn't find them. I needed someone to pray, because we want to be able to find our children and not find them laying horizontally and having to go and identify a body. You know how terrible it is to have to identify your child's body? And then when the time comes to figure out how he died, they take and they butcher parts of his body and keep it back. So you can't even figure out how your child was killed. I'm asking us to have empathy for those who are out there, as well as have sympathy and care for those who are in here. We got to start praying for each other. Last appeal. No pressure, but I truly believe in being covered. If there's anyone who seeks to be anointed, we will anoint you right now in the name of Jesus, in the name of the Father, in the name of the Holy Spirit. And we're just going to ask for the covering of the Holy Ghost to cover you and keep you. When you go, when you come, when you travel to, when you come from, just slip your hand in the air if you want to be anointed. And we're going to come through. And as we anoint,
sweet spirit in me.
when it comes to anointing. I don't mind waiting. When Samuel went to Jesse's house, they had to wait for the Lord's anointing to come before they could sit down and eat, and before that Holy Spirit was poured out before everyone else to see it. So don't feel uncomfortable raising your hand for anointing. As a child, I would always ask my mom to anoint me. She wasn't even baptized. I just know I needed to be covered. So every time I was shot at, arrested, all kind of mess that I got myself into, regardless of what I knew, I was loved by God because he covered me. So I'm not putting any of that on anyone else. All I'm simply saying is don't escape the chance to be covered. Holy Spirit is powerful. Not one bullet came near me. Shot the whole car. Behind me while I'm running, sir, and shooting. Not one. Covered. I don't run that fast. But the Holy Spirit, covered. So if there's anyone else, don't leave your covering today. Anyone else, before we leave, just stick your hand in the air. I'm coming to you. And we're going to have prayer. And ask for the Lord to cover. As a human being, I'll go anywhere in this church right now. I'll make my way. Because I believe what God has for you is that special. And I am nowhere near as powerful and as loving as the Holy Spirit. Just know the Holy Spirit will fight through anything to get to any of you. Any given moment. Anybody else? They found Jesus in the temple at 12 years of age. He was working out our salvation. How much he loves us. Oh, how much he loves us. Anybody else before we close out? Anybody else? We want to lose no, not one. Not one. We're praying. Grab somebody. Somebody you love. Someone you need to love. Just lay a hand on them. We're praying for the Lord's covering right now. We're praying for the anointing power of the Holy Spirit to fall afresh. We're praying for every chain to be broken. We're praying, our Father in heaven, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your mercy, dear Lord. We thank you, dear Lord, for the imagery, for the illustrations. We thank you, dear Lord, for your word. We thank you, dear God, for going through it for us. Your only begotten son. They lost him, dear Lord, for 3 days. But we were reminded, dear Lord, that you were in the grave. The world thought they lost you, dear Lord, for 3 days. But on the third day, you got up with all power in your hands. And dear Lord, in your 30s, you recited the same thing that you said in your 12 years of age. You are about your Father's business with all power in your hands. So, dear Lord, we thank you today. On this, dear Lord, in the year of our Lord 2026, we still need the anointing power from you. There are those, dear Lord, that the devil has sought after day after day, hour after hour. Dear Lord, he seeks to destroy them and tear them apart. This world, dear Lord, seeks to eat them up. And you know it, you know it, you know it. But dear God, they are standing before you, a mighty army, ready to embrace your blessings. For you, oh God, you, oh God, you have set them apart. You have put your seal of love upon them, dear God. And so symbolically, we have used oil today, dear God, but we're asking you, dear Lord, literally to pour out your Holy Spirit upon your children. Dear Lord, you said you'll lead us and guide us into all truth. You said, oh God, that your Holy Spirit will help us to understand and unlock truths, dear Lord, so we will know more of your love. You said, oh God, that you'll set your love upon us. You'll set a shield around us, dear God, that nothing, no one, no weapon formed against us shall prosper. So, dear Lord, we declare it today. We're asking, dear Lord, we're begging, we're standing in need of your power. Dear Lord, some will start on Monday. Some are making their way next week, dear Lord. So we're asking you, dear Lord, to invade the space. Go all up in the dorm rooms. Go in the cafeteria, the library, classrooms. Dear Lord, I'm asking you to go into the dorm room of the person they'll be visiting. Set up a block in that place. That whatever the devil has designed for them, dear Lord, will come to naught because they are a child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Dear God, separate them now, I pray. That they can be beacons of light. That they can show the world your love. Being uncompromising, steadfast. Oh God, I pray that you will seal up, dear Lord, the commitments of your children today. Help them to engage you. Help them, dear Lord, to know you, to love you, to understand, dear Lord, you have purpose for their lives. And when all else fails, I pray that this day will not leave them, dear Lord, but will be forever imprinted, dear Lord, on their soul DNA. So no matter where they find themselves in life, they'll always come back and be drawn back to that place of love. That place where they know your anointing is upon them. Dear Lord, I'm praying for families. Families, dear Lord, that after this week, dear God, will never be the same. Whether a child is going away to college, a child going into high school or middle school, a child going to school for the first time, it'll never be the same. So, dear Lord, I'm praying for your blessings upon them. Oh, Lord, your servant David. He said, dear Lord, that you anointed his head with oil. He said, you did it. Not Samuel, not a preacher, not a pastor. He knew his anointing came from you. May everyone here, dear Lord, know it wasn't my bony double joint finger. It wasn't me, dear Lord, anointing them. I was just a conduit, dear God. Your Holy Spirit came. Place your hands of love upon their heads and set them apart for your purpose. So I'm praying, dear God, that everyone here fulfills the purpose you have for their lives. May it not be, oh Lord, that the devil tries to take them out early. But may they know, dear God, that they are kept, they are loved by you. So every drug, every, dear Lord, fermented beverage that comes their way, may they not defile themselves, dear Lord. May they not, dear Lord, be drugged by an alleged friend, or may they not, dear Lord, be taken, dear Lord, beaten, dear Lord, and left somewhere. May they not be caught up in some foolishness, dear God, because of someone else, dear Father, interfering in their lives. Dear Lord, I ask that you'll be in the classrooms. Keep back, dear Lord, children who wish to come shoot up the schools.
keep back, dear Lord, those who seek to impose any kind of harm, dear Lord, driving automobiles into buildings and into groups. Dear Lord, keep them back from your children. Dear Lord, I'm praying back the wickedness of this old world. Help us, I pray. Dear Lord, there's something special you have for us today. Oh Lord, I know it. So anoint us, cover us, keep us, and help us all, dear Lord, to come back rejoicing and testifying of the God we serve. Oh, how he loves us. Save families, save marriages. Oh Lord, save emotional stability. Save us, I pray. Save our children. Please, oh God, save our children. And comfort, dear Lord, those who have lost theirs. Oh Lord, please. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen and amen.